goes like this. I'm the salt of the earth. I'm the salt of the earth. I carry the flavor of God. I season the earth. Listen up. I'm the salt of the earth. I'm the salt.
You are very welcome to another episode of the Cambridge Endurance Sports Podcast, the show in which I chat to people with an endurance sport connection and, more importantly, a connection to Cambridge. Today's no exception. I'm talking to top runner Mike Salt, or Salty as he's better known, and he's been known to me for 30 odd years. We've run together too many times for me to count. If you like the show, please rate, please subscribe, whether that's on Spotify or Apple, that really helps. And just contribute in some way, let us know you're out there, that would be fantastic. Anyway, without further ado, here's my chat with Mike Salt. Okay, well, I'm here with Mike Salt, or Salty, as he's known to his friends. I'm in the Histon Hub, which is part of the Cambridgeshire FA building in Histon, for those of you who are familiar with the area. A very nice setup he's got here too. How are you today, Mike? What have you been
up
to so far today?
Well, I would have been running, Ben, but I'm speaking with you now.
That's fine.
But yeah, I kind of start here around about 7 at the Histon Hub. Usually get a run in around about sort of this time before the first client, but I'll, yeah, put it to the back end of the day. Maybe run about 2-3 o'clock, that sort of thing. Yeah.
Cool, very good. And when you say your client, so what is it you yourself actually do?
Yeah, I do sports massage. It's kind of a full circle thing, really, because as you know, we used to meet on the park just next door.
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
And it was my place that I was working, the osteopath was retiring. And so I needed to find a treatment room. And Sam Bowden, as you know,
we need him on the podcast. A friend, we need to get him on,
So he said, come on board, you know, I'm opening this place up, come on board with me. Near the time, he couldn't do it because he was too busy doing his teaching and stuff, and just said, you do it, you can do it, Salty. And I did, and so 18 months later, from an empty room, I've now got 4 treatment rooms. I do sports massage, and I've got an osteopath and a physio, and we've got a nice little gym PT space that you've just checked out. We've got a lady that does rehab and nutrition, and it's been a bit of a whirlwind, 18 months, and I've got a nice little clinic.
Cool, yeah. Question I often get asked, do you know any physios, do you know any, you know, practitioners of various sorts? So it's easy to say, check out the Histon Hub, and there's a bit of everything under one roof. Yeah, just, do you want to just quickly tell them where to go to find out the details, the easiest way?
Yes, so www.histonhub.co.uk. It's right next door to Histon Football Club, and it's the CAMS FA building.
And free parking.
Yes, yeah, massive car park as well, so it's really handy, yeah.
Brilliant. Well, we'll perhaps talk about your physio and how that fits in with yourself and what you've been through in a bit, but I want to go right back now to your youth. Where did you grow up?
It's a long way.
It's a long time ago. Mike's in you've just joined the 50 club, haven't you?
52. Yeah.
He doesn't look a day over 30.
Where
did you grow up and when did you get into running?
So Swavesey Village College would have been my first kind of introduction to running. Mm-hmm. It wasn't till afterwards when I joined CNC, or some years after, that I realised the Tuck Brothers were also Swavesey boys.
For the listener, the Tuck Brothers were in their heyday in the 70s, I think. Late 70s, is it?
Yeah.
And very, very fast runners, right?
Yeah. Top 10 national, I think they were, weren't they? They were right at the sharp end.
I think they keep themselves to themselves, but they are around. There is a podcast that the club, the Cambridge and Coleridge, did with them. So if you want to find out more about them, maybe that you can get hold of them that way. But they were certainly, I remember getting the Boxing Day 4-mile trophy
If you've ever had that.
And I've run it. No, I've run it.
I think
it,
their name was all over that, but yes. Of course, that's been the most minor of their achievements.
Yes, yeah, they were, yeah. And Swayze never really kind of celebrated them, you know. I think they should, because, lots of schools kind of celebrate, you know, people that have been there in the past. I know my girls' school at Hinchinbrook was Ewan Thomas, and,
you
know.
Of course, yeah.
But, yeah, so Swayze, Vintage College, first cross-country race, just bimbling around, really not, you know, not really with any intention of doing anything.
Yeah.
But my sister and brother were there 6 years before me,
right.
And were pretty athletic, were very good at athletics and running and swimming. And I can remember the PE teacher just basically giving me both barrels of, what are you doing? Like, you know, fourth or fifth, or just chatting away. I think that's when it sort of gave me a bit of a rocket. I ended up winning the race, just purely through him giving me a bit of a, like, you know, rocket. And and then I suppose what happens is there's a bit of expectation there. So, like, I had to then back it up.
Yeah.
The next race, got to win it. And the tactic was more of a scared tactic, really, and adrenaline-fueled. Just go off like a nutter. And I just found that I got fitter on the hoof, so to speak. So with this tactic, it kind of worked. I realised that it worked, even though I'd die after about a mile. I'd done enough to put everybody else off in terms of following me.
And, so you obviously had some natural speed.
Yes, I didn't realise it, though. It was just purely... and then... realising that racing this way, you're young and the adaptation process is you're like a sponge.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't die after a mile. I died a mile. And, you know, it sort of progressed till eventually 6 months, even just 6 months down the road, I wasn't, you know, I could go off hard.
And hold it.
Hold it. Yeah. And then I realised I'm a runner. So, you know... And obviously, yeah, at school, you know, if you get a bit of kudos,
it's great. Yeah, it's good for your ego and the rest, yeah.
80s was the time of the Co Ovec Crams, and they were as big as, if not more than the footballers of today, and it was, you know.
Yeah, that's interesting. You already seen yourself as a runner. Presumably you enjoyed it as well.
I didn't.
It's hard to remember.
I did and I didn't. I can remember being so nervous because of the expectation of it, but then that was worth it, because the winning and sort of the afterglow and the kudos was kind of like, oh, okay, yes, I quite like this.
That is amazing. I've known it for a while, but it's a lovely feeling, isn't it, when you, that afterglow, as you put it, I like that, and that can last for days and weeks sometimes, can't it?
Mm.
So you carried on with that through school, just cross country, or were you doing some track as well?
I mean, as you know, that training was British Bulldog,
right,
in the playground, and it was just, you know, on a weekend you'd get on your bike and you'd probably cycle 10-15 miles, and that was it. But I can remember a mate at school, John Smith, who was a really good runner, said, come and join CNC, you know, my mum can drive on the Tuesday, your mum can drive on the Thursday. And I suppose that started around about 13.
Right, quite young,
So, and it was at the old Cinders track.
What was the road
Milton,
called? Off Milton Road.
Off Milton Road. Which is all houses now, isn't it?
Yeah,
which is a bit of a shame, because the history there was quite amazing, really. You're sort of walking into this clubhouse with the likes of Herb Elliott and Roger Bannister on the boards, you know, because they would have obviously represented the universities and that sort of thing. So Cambridge College kicked in, and we joined Bill Spratt's group.
Okay.
Who was a sort of an old school road runner.
Yeah.
And a bit more structure now, so I'm sort of training Tuesday, Thursday, and maybe doing a run in the week.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to fast forward to when we joined Barry's group.
Don't yet, because that was much later. So
yeah.
So in, what were your highlights then, would you say, in your school years?
So it was, yeah, the 1500. It was running county, yeah, winning the county champs at 15 and cross country. And getting, you know, I think 4:45 and then progressing through school to about 4:20 at school.
At 15,
I was sort of unfortunate because Swayze also had a guy called Colin Burton.
Okay.
And his dad was the guy that started all the, does the, or used to do the Southern Parliament Hill, the starter.
Oh, yeah.
Guy, yeah. But he, Colin Burton was just ridiculously good. He was a 200, 400 metre runner that also ran 8:15.
Did you not do any of that in the short stuff?
No. Well, you did, you had to, didn't you?
Yeah, in the training, but on an athletics meet, did you compete as well?
Not at that those distances. I think you'd always get roped into the 4x4, right. Usually,
yeah.
Which was strange, because the sprinters, as a middle distance runner, you normally get sort of roped into that.
Yeah. So what happened then when you left school? Did you keep running?
So,
did you go to college?
It would be, so Bill Sprouts group, there was a certain Matt Davies that joined Bill Sprouts group.
We both know he's also been on this podcast.
Yes, yeah. And I think we both got to a point where we thought we needed to do something a bit harder.
Right.
So I think there was a bit of a mutiny. I think I'll blame Matt for the mutiny. But there was a bit of a mutiny in terms of going to another coach. John Benson was his name.
Okay.
So he was a bit of a... If you think Brian Clough, he was sort of that sort of character. So I think it was more to the point that we were just doing something different. It was a bit harder. He was quite open to sort of driving us to all the open meetings at Watford.
Mm.
And so we progressed really rapidly.
Mm.
Both running about 4:02, 4:03 for the 15.
Is this when you're sort of university age? Or
yeah, so we'd be 17, 18.
Yeah, just before,
so we'd
just
getting there. Matt was a fair bit quicker over the 8, about 1:56. And there was a falling out, I think. So that disbanded.
Right.
I'm going to blame Matt again
for this. Sorry, Matt.
But it was. I think you had a bit of a argy-bargy with John. I'm not quite sure what it was about. That disbanded. And we both had heard about Barry Matthews.
Hmm.
And effectively, we just knocked on his front door.
Yeah, so he was part of CNC, wasn't he, at that point?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, how did you hear about him then?
I can't remember now. Just that he was a really good coach.
Yeah.
He got results.
Because he didn't just coach CNC, or did he? Did he?
No, he was coaching a guy, and I forget his name now, but he was
Royston guy, wasn't he?
He was a really good guy that was sort of Scottish national champion.
Yeah, oh yes, that's right.
I might remember it by the end of this. We just knocked on his door and said, like, two lost puppies, can we join your group?
Yeah.
And he lived
across
the way from here.
He used to just across here, didn't he? Yeah, I think he's now in Cottenham. But yeah, I want to get him on as well, but he's a hard man to get hold of.
Yes, yeah, you need to get Barry on, yeah.
Yeah, and of course, I joined that group through Matt, because Matt lived up my road and his mum worked with my wife at the time, and that's how all that came about. But that's a few years later, that is.
Yes.
So what about in that time then? Were you still enjoying the cross country as well?
Yeah, well, I think Matt grasped the nettle and went with it. I drifted for a bit and kind of felt I'll just have a year of, and then I'll just get back into it and it'll be no problem.
Right.
It wasn't, it was like 3 years, so I had to kind of go back with my sort of tail between my legs a bit. But around about 21, I sort of knuckled down in that group. And then, yeah, there was yourself and me and John Bosted.
Yes.
And Sam Bowden joined later.
It's funny enough, we're all in this area, aren't we?
Yes, and it was a good... It was a solid group, wasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I was definitely the slowest there in terms of speed. I just about hold on the strides, and then it's just a case of suffering for the session. But yeah, we used to have Tuesday night sessions on the rec here at Histon.
That's it.
And then at the track sometimes. I don't know if you used to go and do the hills as well, did you?
Yes.
I didn't used to do that.
Yes, I think that's my favourite sort of session, because we did the Royston Hills, but then we did the Sandy Hills, which were quite a bit different.
The dunes there, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Occasionally Netherhall.
Yes, Netherhall, yeah. That's yeah, it. Yeah, that the school, yeah.
Yeah.
And it was, I suppose it would be seen as old school training, hills on a Saturday and reps.
Yeah, in terms of structure, yeah, but I think
there was a lot more nuance to it, though. I think when I think back to it, especially like the hill session, the Sandy Hill, there was a lot of variation, wasn't there? It was sort of like a horseshoe, 50 seconds vertical, and then you had that kind of downhill section that was kind of a leg speed turnover section.
There was also a circuit at Wimpole, I think, that we used to do occasionally, wasn't there? Like, where you'd go hard up the hills and...
Oh, yeah, and come down.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, Barry was... I mean, he didn't sort of state his aims necessarily all the time, but he was good at judging how hard to push you. So the sessions were always hard, but I don't think he ever really sort of broke us, did he? But,
no.
So I think he was very good at... And I think maybe he did adjust things as he went along and from one week to the next, certainly.
Yes. Sort of looking back now, there was... He had an intuition
as
a coach, didn't he?
And someone who I'm hoping to get on very soon as well used to come along quite often was Peter Thompson.
Yes, Pete Thompson.
Who's now chairman, I think.
Oh, I've missed his name out.
He's even older than us, isn't he? So, sorry, Pete. He's stuck with Barry, I think, still to this day. So
yes, he still is, yeah.
Yeah, so that says a lot for Barry, I think. And, yeah, so... Chapeau to Mr. Matthews, who, as I say, hopefully we'll get him on the podcast as well. But so at the time, what was your ambition? What were you aiming to do? Just to get quicker times, or were you hoping to do better at the cross country? What would you say was your main motivator at that time?
Yeah, I think the times back then, you know, as a club runner, as that stamp of approval, it was getting under four for the 1500.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of a benchmark thing. And
and you did that?
Did that, 3.58. I think it was a Watford Open meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And the cross-country top 100 in the national was a sort of a seal of approval,
was,
you know.
I don't know what it's like now so much, but certainly back in the day, that was a blooming good performance. I mean, there were thousands lining up, weren't there?
Yes.
All decent club runners. So to get in the top 100, I mean, you had to... sprint off the start, you were never going to even make it. And this is in a 9 mile race.
Yes, I always think the Parliament Hill was, I still think it's one of the hardest foot races because for that reason it was hilly and muddy.
Yeah.
But
you like that, don't you?
I kind of gravitated to that just because you gravitate to what you feel that you're better at. And yeah, if you didn't go off, you were swallowed up by 500 runners in front of you. If you went off just a little bit too quick, you then got 8 miles to get through. So, yeah, it was the quality. It was the course was really hard, but I think the quality of it was up there as well.
So at the time, has that also tell us if that's changed to today? What would you say are your best, your biggest strengths as a runner? Would you say it's your ability on hills, or your can float over the mud? What kind of things do you think are the things that make you the best, as in, you know, help you win a race?
Yes, I suppose it would have been the strength on the harder courses. And that can still be a strength in something like a 1500 metres, in terms of being able to go off hard but then being able to hold the pace.
Because you're a sort of compact runner, let's say, put it that way. You're quite strong. You're for a runner, you're not you're slim, but you're not thin in the sense of you're not what's the word I'm looking for? You're sort of,
yes.
How would you describe your you're the physio. That's the right word. So I don't want to say that you're stocky.
Chunky.
So I wouldn't call you stocky, but you for a distance runner, you're probably more muscular than the average.
Yeah. So I suppose in running, there's so many factors that come into it in terms of your aerobic system, your anaerobic system, but also it's a muscular thing as well. That you know, the ground's impacting you, a good 3 to 4 times your body weight, you're having to absorb that, but then you're also then having to then take, return that energy into the next step. So yes, you can have the perfect runner that's got the whole gamut in terms of the muscular component and the aerobic system and the basic speed. But I think most of us, even elite, you know, even elites that are not perhaps quite to that really top level, have usually got some of the above.
Yeah.
In terms of maybe they're more of a, what I'd call like a muscular runner, you know, they're running on that more so than their aerobic system.
So in a cross country, would you find, for example, you'd make up places on a hill, and what about a sprint finish? Do you like that? What sort of things?
Yes, I never really had a sprint finish, but I think it was having that ability to sort of hold the pace. I suppose I did when I was doing the track, and then when you start to let go of that sort of training, because there's no hiding place on the track, you know, it is really a lot about sort of leg turnover and leg speed. Yeah. And just the dynamics and the mechanics of it. So I suppose I lost that a bit when I moved away from the track. But I just enjoyed the cross country more, I suppose.
Mm.
You know, and I suppose compact, harder, hillier courses, suited my body type, I suppose.
And would you still recommend track training for road and cross-country runners or not? Or does it depend on age and status in terms of strength and injury proneness, if that's a word?
Yes, I think so. I think, in a perfect world, then yes, you would add an element of track training there just for that pure leg turnover, and there's no hiding place. So you can do park reps.
Yeah.
And you can have the clock and you're doing them in 3 minutes, but the distance is kind of rough.
Yeah.
I think with the track, it's a very...
it's honest in that sense.
Yes, there's no hiding place and you've got a very honest time. So in but a perfect it'll world...
probably do your calves or your Achilles.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. In a perfect world, I would not have let go of that. But obviously, sort of life gets in the way. And you kind of find a different way around life in terms of training, etc., you know.
Mm.
And it has to fit, I suppose, your job and your lifestyle.
Yeah, so, I mean, going back to the Barry sessions then, we were both in our 20s then. That's nearly 30 years ago. So let's sort of take it a decade at a time then. So in your 20s, going through to your late 20s, were you running pretty much consistently all the way? And what do you think were your best moments in that decade, if you can remember that far back?
Right, yes. So, yes, like I said, I drifted a bit. And then at about 21, I sort of grasped the nettle, got stuck into training. And I suppose, running, going under the 4 for 15 was that thing, that sort of monkey on the back that I've done it. I think the 90 second in the intercounties was my highlight, you know, because it was that sort of top 100. The intercounties was slightly different to the national.
Yeah, because you have to qualify for it.
Yeah.
So you did that by winning the counties. How many times have you won the counties?
I've won. I don't know, junior, but I've won. I've won 8 and 15 and 5,000.
Yeah, and cross-country.
And cross-country as well, So a few times,
Nice. So I'm guessing by coming, was it 92nd, you said, at the intercounties?
Yes.
You were probably, if not certainly one of the top 2 or 3 Cambridgeshire finishers.
Yes. And I think...
It sounds quite a low number, but you've probably beaten everybody else from Cambridgeshire by doing that.
Yeah, and I think I was lucky that I hit Cambridge at probably the right time. Cambridge was going through a lull.
Yeah.
From their heyday of the 60s, 70s.
Which is now back up again now.
And it's now back to where it should be, really, for sort of a historic town. You know, it needs to be where it is, back to where it was. But having said that, that would have been nice to have been in that mix, really, because it would have been more of a... would have come in the top 100 to just score for Cambridge. So I think, looking back, that would have been even... You know, if we were where we were now, it would have just kind of pushed us and nudged us a bit more. Because I think once I'd done that, it was almost like, oh, I'll just...
Can't really aim much.
I'll relax. I should have, I should have kind of pushed on, but I sort of went, oh, okay, let's just kind of step back from it a bit. And I think the danger is there when you do that in your late 20s, 30s, and then you check back, you realise that you're now 36 and you've kind of lost a lot of time. But yeah, I suppose that would be in my 20s, that would have been the highlight, sort of dipping under the 4 for the 15. Getting a top 100 in the national, county champs.
Did you
Wimpole? Yeah, I think I'm trying to think which the ones that I won. I think it would have been Wimpole.
And of course, there was the Icknield League as well.
Oh, sorry, So let me go back. It would be winning the Icknield League.
Yeah.
Yes, which was
A very competitive.
A good, league. Probably similar to the Colchester League. I'm guessing. I don't know.
I think even stronger.
Yeah. Right. So that was a. When you first started, getting into the top 10 or 15 was a good, you'd sort of arrived. And then, so winning it was fantastic.
Yeah. Had you done anything on the road at that point? Because I know Matt didn't.
No, I hadn't, no. And again, I wish I'd just kind of kept it going because I think the 5K or the 5,000 wasn't really a thing back then, was it?
Nowhere near as much. No.
And I can remember having a chat with Barry and we were sort of talking, let's have a crack at the 5,000. And I dabbled a bit. I only had like a few races. I did got to low 15s, but never really, I would like to have had a proper go at it. Because having decent basic speed for a club runner at 15 and then being a decent solid cross country runner, the 5 would probably have been perfect in my late 20s. But
what age do you think you were your fastest that you've been, or your fittest, let's say, what do you see as your best couple of years of running as someone who's done it since they were 12 and now 52, you've got 40 years to choose from. Which couple of years are you going to choose?
Blimey, I suppose, 26 to 27.
Yeah.
Yeah, 26 to 27.
But the motivation must have stayed because you're still running now. And
yes.
So what happened then into your 30s?
So, like I said, I sort of did this other, the same thing really, where I thought, I'll just take a step back and I'll just pick it up. And that doesn't happen because life gets in the way. I think I got glandular fever, actually. Things were getting more important, like getting a job. And, so the running took a back seat.
Because you were a postman for a while, weren't you?
Yes.
Were you able to combine your training with delivering letters or never?
It was good. Yeah, it was good in that all of a sudden it's a different thing. Again, your body adapts, if you're doing something very different. So it was good in one respect. And then it has a cap. You once you've done it for a year or two, it sort of levels off. It worked to a point, I think. And I started to get back into the running. And like I said, I was about 35, 36, so it was a bit of a shock because it sort of, you degrade quite a bit over those years. I would say it took me quite a few years to sort of get back to where I wanted to get back to. And
When you've been quick, you don't feel like trotting around two or three times a week is proper running, do you? So you wanted to get the actual fitness where you're proud of what you're doing.
Exactly. So you do spend a year or two just kind of going out the front door and messing around and playing around with it. But I think that's kind of needed to a degree. And then obviously you start to develop that. And then I started road running. I've never thought I'd do any decent runs over like half marathon or anything. But kind of I did all right. The St Neots to run 71 at 40.
Did you win that one?
I won.
Yeah.
And
I think we came and watched you that day.
Yes.
Yeah.
40 years old, and I kind of, it was a bit of a nice little boost of like, oh right, let's kick on from this and
yeah,
let's get back into the running, you know.
Did you ever do the Swavesy half marathon?
Yes.
Yeah, you did, didn't you?
I did,
yeah. That was nice. Completion of the circle as well, yeah.
Perfect, yeah. Swavesy Visitors College. I remember obviously Cambridge and the Cambridge half and the Swavesy half were quite
close, yeah.
Back in the day, back in the '80s, because
oh yeah, that was a brother race then. Yes, yeah.
And obviously you started the Cambs half one. Going again.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, I did the original Swavesy half.
Yes.
Yeah. I think that was one of my first ever half marathons, yeah. And there was a club there called the Swavesy Snails.
Yes, I used to run with the Swavesy Snails, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a nice race. But then since then, there's been a different format of the Swavesy half as well, hasn't
yes.
there?
Well, I can remember doing it, and it was the first year I went the wrong way. I went off course for about half a mile, but managed to kind of get back and win. But it was, going through all the RSPB and all that sort of thing.
So you mentioned you did 71 at St Neots. That's a, most people will know, be aware of the St Neots half in about November time, isn't it? Which is a reasonably fast course. Did you ever beat that? And also, while we're here, let's tell us your PBs for your 10K, 5K, 5 mile, whatever you're most proud of in those.
So I suppose in that kind of, in my 30s, yeah, low 33s for 10K at King's Lynn.
You're not gone quicker than that, I'd have thought.
No.
Under 33.
No, and it's always been a bit of a, like I said, if I'd have had a proper go at the 5K back in the day, it would have been nice to have got some times on the board for
But still, for that. Yeah. Good. I think that's much better than the 33.
Yes. Yeah. Half 71, 37. Certainly, it's just quite a hilly course as well. I think that kind of suited me as well, though. I could,
but it's downhill at the end.
Lots of downhills, yeah. So you can just kind of let the legs turn over. Had a little dabble at, because my family sort of originates from the Peak District.
Oh, yeah.
So I sort of dabbled a bit with the fell running.
Yeah.
I won a few, again, it was where I was born.
Mm.
So to go back there and win the race in the place that I was born was quite cool. And I'd love to have, done that as a proper season, like a fell running season.
Right.
But it was, the logistics of getting there and with a, young family, it wasn't that easy,
And you equally like going up and going down, do you? Or?
Yes, it's a bit more of an acquired art, the fell running, especially coming down.
Yeah.
So the going up was...
Just let yourself go and be fearless, don't you?
Yes, I was okay, but some of them were ridiculous, just kamikaze. And I don't know, there's a technique to it that... I think you have to be born there, running there, and doing that every day. But you had a dabble at that.
You're doing your half.
Yes.
Was that the time when you're doing, you'd say, your biggest mileage? Or have you ever been a real big mileage person or not?
No. So, I kind of got back. So back in, Barry's... group, it was 60 miles a week.
Yes,
was
I remember that
a
being
lot.
Quoted. Yeah, as a sort of almost a target figure. Yeah,
and it worked for the 15 and for the 5,000. And I think building, just
that's
going.
Right, so what you're thinking? You're talking 60 miles a week. That's a long run on a Sunday. Probably three quality runs.
Yes,
Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, and maybe hills on a Saturday, and filling in between that. So to get 60 in and include three qualities, no mean feat.
Yes, and I got back to that, which I think was the whole reason, that I'd done, that I ran a decent decent half, a decent time, And that was the structure. It was Sunday was, I remember Barry always kind of shouting us out because probably my fault making the Sunday run into a bit of a burn up from from the off.
Yeah, it was never a jog.
No.
I tell you that, because I mean, nowadays people think, you know, long, slow, Sunday run, don't they? They jog it, or some people do.
Yes.
A lot of people do. But no, they weren't slow runs, those Sunday runs.
No, and he'd come out on the bike, so he'd rein us in, I think, for that first hour. I remember that. But then there'd always be this, the last 2 to 3 miles, he'd just let us go for it. And looking back now, it was the perfect sort of, I suppose, aerobic development for that first hour.
Mm.
And I suppose it would fit somewhere in the, as a threshold run.
Yeah, unless they teach you to be strong at the end of the race.
But in a nice way, yeah, you're not doing a threshold and overcooking it because you've already run for an hour at a decent pace. So I suppose it would sit somewhere in that, I suppose, critical velocity. You'd know this with
there are different terms depending on the sport and the coach and all the rest of it. But yeah, it wasn't just base training.
No.
That's for sure. Yeah. And have you sort of stuck with that right through? So we're going into your 40s now. So you did this, you did your 71 minutes aged 40, did you say?
Yes. Yeah.
Any other highlights from that until now, really?
So I had a dabble at the marathon, which was quite painful. Yeah. Okay, remember you sit watching me off a few times.
Did you used to wear very light shoes?
I did. They were sort of minimalistic shoes, yeah, which has kind of gone the whole circle now, hasn't it?
Yeah.
I nailed one decent marathon, which was the Manchester one, and I ran 2:45, and I thought I need to at least just do one where I just don't go full on and just get a time on the board.
Yeah.
That just happened to be the marathon that they announced a week later was 200 yards short. So it was really?
Yeah.
And then London, I've gone into it like a race, which was ridiculous, really. I can remember seeing one of the lads, I can't remember his name now, but I think he used to write for AW, Athletics Weekly.
Yes, I know. Is it Larkin? Was it the other one?
I can't remember. It was his eighth marathon.
Right.
And I just had it in my head. Yes, I'm going to race. You know, I just had a race mentality.
Yeah.
Which was completely, unless you're elite, not the thing to do in a marathon.
No, especially not if you're starting out.
But yeah, the shoes, yeah. I think you try. I mean, I'm a sucker for all these different new fad things.
Yeah.
Not a sucker in that I just will keep with them, but I'll try it. And yes, it works. If you unpick it as to why it's good, because it conditions the lower limb and your foot is got a more natural sort of placement. And however, running, you know, there's a time and place to use that minimalistic footwear.
Yeah.
And then there's a time to put on the more cushioned shoes that they use now.
Yeah. So what are you running in now?
Well, I do use the Air.
The next percent, there's the Alpha.
That's the one, the Alphas. I think our sort of, it was really turning up to a race and realising that everybody got them on.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, I've got to join the party or else I'm going to be,
I think they give you a bit of an edge, don't they? The equivalent, if you haven't got them, it's a bit like running with a rucksack on.
Yes. Yeah. So I do use them.
Yeah.
But I save them for the races, you know?
Yeah.
And maybe if we're doing a guided bus session and it's, you know, that 10 days or 2 weeks before the big race that you want to do well in.
Get used to it, don't you?
Then you sort of have a little session that's a bit more tailored to that and put the shoes on. But Innovate are my choice.
For off-road.
And a bit on-road as well. Just they're minimalistic. You can wear them on and off road. They're quite roomy as well. They're quite wide toe boxes. So even though I've got diddy feet, they're quite muscular feet or quite wide.
Right.
So I think most trainers, I feel that they're kind of, I'm squeezed into them a bit, where the Innovates tend to be nice and roomy. Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. So you've had issues with injuries over the times, haven't you? But you're back running now.
Yeah, well, it was around about the time that I kind of made that statement of like, oh, I've never really had an injury. And that was that was the death knell on, yeah, all of a sudden, sort of something developing. So it would have been around about 2015, 2016. So in my just early 40s. And yeah, I was obviously had connections with lots of practitioners.
Yeah.
So I did go through the whole gamut of osteopathic treatment and physio. Eventually, I did have a little procedure where they just cut into the fascial fascia just to kind of release it.
Near the knee?
Near the knee, yeah. And it worked. Mm. But it was, how it developed, I'm not quite sure. I think maybe I was starting to look more towards the marathon training. And I think possibly my way of training, I changed it too much and maybe ingrained one movement pattern or ingrained myself to just one movement pattern instead of...
Were you consciously trying to run in a particular way then?
I think so, yeah. It was lots of longer and probably slightly slower running and again on road, you know, and I think looking back, I just changed it up too much. You know, I'm always used to doing long runs off-road. And just mixing it up nicely in terms of intervals and speed and hills and long run. So I think that's where sort of reverting back, because we touched on it earlier, that's I think where there's an ideal scenario where you'd have an element of track and an element of this and so on and so forth. But then there's also a reality of, the training suiting your body type.
Yes.
And, you know, if you've been doing this particular training for the last 20 years or 30 years or whatever, then there has to be an element of that there.
That's a really good point, I think, adapting training to what sort of runner you are. I mean, even though you want to work on your weaknesses, so for example, my weakness would be lack of speed, but if I trained on the track three times a week, I'd be broken straight away, you know.
Yes.
So you do have to work on your weaknesses, but you also have to use your strengths to build you in the best way you can, don't you, and tailor your running to the type of runner and body type and all the rest of it that you are.
I think so, and then you just dip your toe in the water in terms of introducing that slightly new type of sessions. If you're going on the track, it's a one day a week kind of, it doesn't even have to be a full-on session.
You could
just do strides and just kind of
ease
into it.
We both mentioned Alan Pritchard, he's been on the show as well. And I know you run with him a bit now.
Yes.
Just before I forget, he asked me to ask you a question. This is a question that we've nicked from another podcast, Marathon Talk. And they used to ask all their guests at the end, if you had 6 months, you've probably heard this, unbroken training, no injury problems or whatever, how fast do you think you could run a mile?
I'd love that.
Now, you're 52, your best, did you ever do a mile race?
I did, but I was too old.
Right.
So I suppose if you scaled it up, what they say, you add about 17 seconds, don't they? To your 15-ish, okay. Maybe 18 seconds.
Oh, right,
seconds.
Sorry. I thought you were thinking 17 seconds a year. I said, I hope not.
No.
Okay.
So,
a bit more than that.
Back in the, 358, I suppose you scale that up to 415, but I ran it when I was too old, and I think I did go under 5 minutes. It is something that I want... is probably something I would like to do, actually.
Yeah, to get a 50-plus type time.
Yes,
yeah.
So maybe next year, because that was the intention with doing the 5Ks. And I think it surprised me with the 5K how much kind of aerobic stuff you need to do, actually. And I think it would be nice just coming full circle, because I think the 15 suited me as a strength runner. I think so... Okay, you put me on the spot. So,
do you do reps now? Do you ever do?
I do. I think it would need more work on the track. I'd like to think that I could get.
Let's start. What do you think you could do if you did it today?
Today, I'd go under 5.
Really?
Yeah.
That's good going for a 52-year-old to go under 5 minutes is good. So with 6 months training, you've got to go
4:45.
4:45.
Yeah.
Okay. There we go. We'll hold you to that then when you do it next year.
4:45. I just realised what I said there. Yeah. So that mean having
I managed
to run 4:52
on the road once. Okay. I think it must have been a downhill course because there's no way I could run anywhere near. Interesting. And at the moment, you're sort of, you're telling me before we started that you've got back sort of under 18 minute form for your 5K, which again is blooming good. So what sort of, what's your weekly training looking like at the moment?
Okay, so if we start with the session with Al, which is a Tuesday, and we've kind of progressed it. We were going out on the guarded bus and kind of doing a tempo type session, but we've now kind of upgraded it to reps on the park, so back like we did back in the day, basically. Yeah. So 1K reps, but keeping the recovery low, so it's like a minute. So it does, it becomes less of a VO2 max type of session, which I think is not really that repeatable. I know it's the, it tends to be the thing that most people will post up.
Yeah, it looks good. Yeah.
It looks good, and you can put the times up, and but I don't think it's repeatable. I think it's really good if it's 10 to 14 days out from the race that you want to really do well in, because you need some sort of confidence.
It has its value because it raises that ceiling, so your percentage you run at is obviously that bit. The percentage is the same, but if your top is higher, then that whatever percentage you say 80, that's going to be a faster speed. So these K reps were
off a minute and 3:30.
Good, yeah.
So
yeah,
not bad.
Solid,
And a minute just makes it more of a kind of probably more like a 5 mile type of session, really.
Yeah.
But it gives you a good indication of what you could run a 5K in, because even though you're obviously
getting... What are you doing, like five of them, are you?
Or? Yeah.
Yeah.
Even though you're getting that kind of little breather, obviously the perceived effort of a race is off the charts, isn't it? So you're always going to be able to raise your game a bit more.
You hope so. So I think it varies again from person to person, doesn't it? But some people, myself included, hopefully would raise it quite a bit on race day.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's your Tuesday.
So Tuesday, and then recover. And I'm talking about recovering. So a nice, easy 40, 45 minute run, usually on the Wednesday, Thursday and Friday. And then the Saturday would be the hill session. And again, just arcing back to what we used to do back in the day, which is at Sandy Heath.
Oh, you're going there.
I just find it a perfect session because it's, like we said, it's a good vertical with some sand and some solid ground for a good minute. And then the kind of the bit that kind of loops around gives you sort of a bit of an incomplete recovery. Mm. So you probably get a 40, 45 second recovery, and mixed into that is a nice sort of 20 seconds of leg turnover. Mm. So you get that kind of, you get the uphill bit, and then you get the kind of the leg turnover bit as you're coming down. So it'd usually be 10 of those.
Mm. With a warm-up and cool-down.
Warm-up, cool-down.
And Barry used to always have us warm-up, then we do stretching and the strides, didn't we? Do you still do that, or do you skip the stretching? Or not do the strides either?
It's progressed in that I realise now that the stretching, the static stretching is not the best. That, yeah, it's not the best way to... if you're going to do a hard 5K or a hard session, it's probably not the best thing to do. So it's a bit more of a easy run for 5-10 minutes to get everything warm and loose. And then it's, stride mixed in with mobility and drills. So you just kind of, it's more about, getting mobility.
You have the self-discipline to do that, do you, most sessions?
I do, more out of necessity, having done them and not done that sort of thing. And realise that I'm now older. I think you used to get it, if you skipped it when you were younger, you just got away with it. And I think now, you weren't necessarily doing the right thing, it's just, you kind of just got away with it, didn't you? So, more dynamic, I suppose, more mobility-based and drill-based.
Cool. But so still... Things like heel flicks and knee lifts and
yes,
things like that, yeah.
Exactly,
yeah.
All of that.
Yeah. And so that leaves the Sunday run. What's that looking like?
So, not brilliant. Yeah. I'd like for it to be a typical Sunday out the door, a good solid hour to an hour and a half. However, it's probably more like, again, a 40 to 45 minute easy, because I've got young kids and it's just harder, as you know, to sort of, just disappear for the day and then come back totally wiped. But I think that's the plan over the next year. I need to just look at my day and kind of get that long run in somewhere.
Yeah, even if you don't do it every week,
Yes, yeah.
Just maybe every other week,
So I suppose it revolves around the Tuesday session and the Saturday session. With lots of 40, 45 minute runs just to kind of flesh it out.
Sure.
And
have you got a target at the moment?
The target was
just to get
a half decent 5K.
Yeah.
Which under 18 for a 50-year-old, kind of getting there.
Pretty good.
But once I think you get the taste for it, I think me and Al are having a bit of to and fro in.
Yeah.
So I think we're one all at the moment in terms of he won the first one, I won the second one, and he did me at the, was it South Malden? Was the last Hokies?
What used to be Kevin Kemp.
That's it, So I need to sort of readdress that, but he ran, I think he ran 17:20, so it's given me a nice sort of nudge to, well, for both of us to actually think, well, maybe we could.
Is he a year or two younger?
He is, yeah.
Yeah, I'll give him that then.
But if we could get low, if a low 17 or even under 17, that would be quite nice.
That would be a lovely
As a 50-year-old, that would be quite nice.
Still hoping to do some cross-country?
Yes, yeah. Again, it's what's the lead? The Frostbite is nice, but they tend to be more 5 mile mixed terrain.
Yeah, not real cross country, is it?
It's nice as a little benchmark to see where you're at. But yeah, it'd be nice to find some. And I know the Colchester League, but it's a bit too far away. Yes, it'd be nice to get back onto that cross country circuit again.
Cool.
Yeah.
Right, well, we're sort of slightly getting towards the end now. I know you've got some notes, which is quite rare for people. I want to make sure that we haven't left out anything important. I want to finish. I'll be finished in a minute. I'll ask you a bit more about your sports massage and so on. But before we get onto that, anything more on the running? Any more highlights of your running career that we haven't touched on? Things that you've got to get in to get the true salty story. Anything on those notes that we haven't said?
Oh my God. No, I think I've kind of covered it. I think back in the day, it was definitely getting under 4 for 15.
Yeah.
The top 100 in the national was the kind of stamp of approval.
And have you been a CNC member forever?
From the age of 12,
Wow.
It was, the Cinders track, Bill Spratt, and
never been defected to another club?
No, I think Bedford did scout us at one point, which is when I thought about the, again, it's when Cambridge was in that lull, and I think Bedford were very much the top club, weren't they? They were winning the Southern Counties.
Because it was that
counties.
Paul Radcliffe club, wasn't it? And everything, yeah.
And it would have been a case of you'd have, top 100 would have got you a scorer.
Yeah.
But also a scorer in a team that's just won the Southern Counties or something like that. But I didn't defect, no, I kept with Cambridge College. Yes.
Good man. So now obviously you're treating presumably a lot of runners.
Yes.
Yeah. Has that taught you anything about running? or does it just confirmed what you always knew?
Yeah, I mean the whole idea was to try and create a nice integrated clinic, because it's you're treating somebody from your own perspective, so it can be blinkered. I'm treating somebody and looking at the fascial system and that's one kind of aspect of it, so to be able to refer them on, if the session's not going the way that you want it to, or the person is not progressing, then it's all, it's usually that there's a red flag there that something else is going on, i.e. There's lots of systems in the body. So an osteopath will look at you mechanically. They'll look at the soft tissue as well. But if something mechanically is locked, then, you know, yes, you've got soft tissue issues from that because the soft tissue is taking up the slack. But you're just going around in circles. You know, you'll treat somebody, they'll feel better for a period of time and they'll keep coming back to you, which is great to a certain point. But you want to get them better and you want to progress them. So, yes, the idea was to have this sort of hub.
Yeah.
And that's the osteopath's viewpoint. The physio will come from a completely different angle as well. And they're looking at, you know, is it because there's a muscle imbalance? Is it lack of flexibility?
And do you think as a runner yourself, you're sort of able to identify more and perhaps understand the cause of the problems more? And do you think you're perhaps less likely than other practitioners to say, right, don't run for a week?
Exactly, yes, you hit the nail on the head, yeah, because that is the classic one. And, you know, it's very hard as a runner to take, you know, life basically is just beating you down, isn't it? You know, so running, yeah.
you can put
the aspect on running is not good for you.
Yeah.
Just the same as football isn't good for you or this sport's not, you know, I don't think there's any perfect discipline.
No, even yoga's got its disadvantages.
Exactly, yes. So I think it's, identifying, you know, what they need to work on. Most of the time people are looking at a tightness in an area as being flexibility, but a lot of the time it's a weakness in that, you know, there's a deconditioning in the muscle. So I find that quite a biggie because most people are find it a bit counterintuitive to load and to strengthen something that is already tight. But actually it's the kind of, that is what's going to get them out of this loop or cycle of becoming
injured. Yeah, so you might prescribe a lot of strength type.
Yeah,
so do some yourself as well?
Yes, yeah, definitely. It's again, it's one of those that people kind of will tend to shy away from, or there's lots of examples of runners that are really good that don't do any weights or don't do any strength. And I think it's not that they're good because they don't do any weights. It's just they're good.
they've got that type of physiology in the body, yeah.
I think, you know, it's, like I was saying before, it's an impact sport. The ground is impacting you. It's a really, you know, if you're jogging, it's 3 to 4 times your body weight. So if you're more than jogging, then it's a hell of a load to just absorb through your body. I think it's just picking and making it nuanced. Because certainly, if you introduce certain weight exercises, it might just not suit that particular body type.
Sure.
So I think that's where the problem comes in, that people tend to throw out they don't want to do weights because they've tried squats.
Yeah.
And it's not suited them
as well.
Yes.
Yeah. Cool. So just very quickly then, so if they want to get in touch, can they have a little sort of on the phone chat with you before they book the appointment? Can they do something like that if they're not sure?
Yes.
How does it work? Can they ring you up? Or
definitely. And they can ring up, and they can even, you know, if it's a case of just coming down to sort of almost have a little taster session and a chat, then that's something that I would encourage as well, just so that they're, because it's quite a daunting thing, isn't it, to sort of sign up for something that you're not quite sure on or what's going to happen. Exactly. And then, you can just explain that this is my thing. I do sports massage, but obviously the idea was to build a team that you can then branch off
from that. Get the right person for you,
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right, well, we're nearly out of time. My last question, very quick answer, please. Favourite pre-race meal, can be days before if you want. And favourite session, just really quick, please, Mike.
Quick, okay. Favourite session first, hill session, sandy, perfect. 1 minute, I think I've explained it. Yeah, leg turnover, the incline, perfect session for me.
Nice one.
Pancakes.
Oh, yeah.
Because...
on race day or day before?
I just tend to need at least 5 to 6 hours before...
Really?
The race. I know other people
do
it sooner, but...
So if you've got a morning race, you haven't the night before.
Possibly, possibly. And just because you can put everything, you can just load it. Maybe rather than processed flour, you might go and get something a bit more. I know you can get like sweet potato flour, and there's a whole host of things.
Yeah.
So it's a bit more less processed.
How do you have your pancakes then with? Banana and blueberries. What do you go with?
Maple syrup.
Maple syrup.
Maple syrup all day. Yes.
Lovely job.
And you can't beat it. Eggs, flour, milk.
Cool.
Perfect.
And of course, as you said, you've got kids and a family, and you want to presume they're supporting you in your running. So you've got 30 seconds to thank anyone you want to thank. And
my wife for just letting me disappear and do my running. And my two girls, Freya, Leah, gymnasts, just extraordinaire, just awesome. I'm trying to nudge them on to the run, the running, but yeah, I'd like to actually them to do what they enjoy doing.
Of course.
And they're so good at the gymnastics that it'd be a pity to shoehorn them into what I used to do.
Well, if they do as well as their dad, they've done great. So thanks ever so much, Mike. That's been a great chat. And and I'm sure if people see you about in a running race, or if they come to the hub here, they'll see that Salty really is salt of the earth. So thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Ben. Cheers.
Right, well, I hope you enjoyed my chat with Mike Salt. I certainly did. And of course, if you need any kind of massage or other treatment associated with your running, then get in touch with him at the Histon Hub. The details are in the show notes. Also in the show notes, you'll find details of how to follow this show on Facebook, Twitter or Instagram. Please get in touch, give us your feedback. We welcome it all. In the meantime, another episode coming soon, and while you're waiting, keep enduring.